Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
Welcome to Defrag. Today I'm going to sit and you're going to stand.
Yeah, we wanted to mix things up a bit, I guess.
Yeah, I got out of bed this morning. My back decided to sleep in all day. So I'm
that old man is creeping up on you there, right?
No, I'm getting older every day. So yeah, there's that. But we want to start today with Pick of the Week.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I got this stick PC device to
Where
review.
Is it?
Yeah, oh, sorry. It's right here. We're actually doing the show off of it because I figured, you know, what better way to demo this thing
than hardly anything there.
Yeah, it's. I'm sure folks have seen the articles on these stick PCs.
Yeah.
It's an Atom device, quad core. It can show some nice little info about it. Obviously, I don't have a screen in front of me, so I'm going to be doing this the entire show.
So it just runs off our monitor here.
Yep.
It's got HDMI out.
It has HDMI out, two USBs. It has a full-size USB port. It has micro USB with this little dongle that you can attach to get two ports. It has micro SD card as well.
Nice.
For
so you can
expansion.
Bump it up with another 64 gig.
Or 128.
Or 128, I guess.
Yeah, so this is a four core
That's
Atom.
That's incredible.
Right? It doesn't really run all that hot.
Yeah.
This is a 2 gig RAM device.
It's like a little stack of bookmarks, and the thing is a quad core. That's incredible.
Yeah, it runs a 32-bit OS, but it's an x64-based processor.
Yeah.
It came with Windows 8.1 with Bing on it.
Yeah.
And I had the...
Choose your words wisely.
I know. I had the pleasure of upgrading it to Windows 10.
What was that like?
It was an interesting experience, let me tell you.
Yeah.
So one of the big things to realize with these stick PCs, at least this particular one, it has 16 gig flash memory at its core. So that's all that you have to work with.
Yeah.
And this device, when it came with 8.1, came with the Wimboot version of 8.1. Mm-hmm. So remember that technology when 8.1 came out was to compress the Windows directory as the recovery drive so that you could have more space on your disk. Now, for me, it was interesting because you couldn't upgrade Windows just with this alone. So you can't just go and download the Windows OS onto this system directly from the web. You have to set it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. The way to do that generally for these types of devices is basically any 16 gig device if you want to have a successful upgrade to Windows 10.
Because you need 16 gig anyway. I mean, that's the suggested
size, right? Well, you need a bare minimum of 9 gig free.
Yeah.
Like the absolute bare minimum of 9 gig. So what you want to do with these devices is reset the entire PC. And I don't mean refresh. There's a difference between reset and refresh. Resetting the PC, and again, this is not the 8.1 UI, this is the 10 UI, so it's not exactly the same, but it's still under settings, update and security, recovery. So what you'd want to do is reset your PC.
Yeah.
What that'll do is wipe out everything, take you back to the very basics of when it first came up.
And then you get all your updates.
Ah, well, that's just it. You don't connect it up to the internet.
Yeah.
Okay? So when you go through Ubi, don't connect it up to wireless. Just continue on and just get to the desktop. Mm-hmm. Then what you want to do is download the Windows 10 upgrade, the manual update.
Yeah.
And I did not have the tab for this.
And so you download it to like the flash that's in it?
No, you don't want to do that. What you want to do is go here to download the...
You're giving me a kink in my neck to go
sorry.
With my bad back.
Sorry. what you want to do is download the... USB preparation tool for Windows 10.
Yeah.
So to set this up, you have the two USB ports. I didn't use them as the two separate USB ports. I hooked up a separate hub.
Yeah.
When you first get the device, hook up a hub and hook up a wired keyboard. Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm using a Bluetooth keyboard with this now. So really no wires other than HDMI and power. But when you first get it, you have to hook up a keyboard and mouse in order to navigate with it.
So it has a power adapter too?
Yes, USB-based.
Nice.
And most TVs will be able to power it. Okay. So if you hook this up to just a straight TV in the back, a lot of the newer TVs that have HDMI also have a USB port. You can use the USB port directly to power it.
That's enough machine at your house to hook it up to the back of a TV and stream all your video?
Absolutely.
Wow, so that'd
works
be like...
Works perfect with Hulu, works perfect with Netflix, works perfect with Plex, works perfect with the Xbox TV app.
Yeah.
I've had no problem streaming over
and
wireless.
And it powers over HDMI?
No, it powers over...
Over USB, so over you plug it in the USB port on your TV.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so this little device, you take it, you know, if you're traveling, going to a hotel, right?
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about what's on, you just take this thing, load it up on a micro SD card with movies, or use Netflix or Hulu or whatever, and or your streaming thing, or I use Plex.
That's unreal. How much is it?
This is, I believe, $129.
That's crazy. Wow. That's awesome.
For a ton of power. Going back to the upgrade.
Yeah.
Hook up a USB hub, take two USB sticks, plug, download the Wintan USB install to the first stick, keep the second stick completely empty.
Okay.
Run the install from the first USB stick. During the install process, it will tell you, hey, there's not enough free space. Do you want to put the temporary files onto another drive?
Yeah.
That's when you choose the second drive, the one that's empty. Make sure that at least both of them are 16 gig free.
Yeah.
So at least 16 gig USB drives. You do that, you run the upgrade, you wait for a while because it is admittedly slower when you're doing an upgrade like that because one, the flash drive, the flash memory that's on the stick is not the fastest in the world, it's not an SSD, but you're also shuttling data back and forth through the USB.
Yeah.
Right, so it is a longer upgrade. It's not by any stretch of the imagination overly long, but you're probably looking at, you know, 45 minutes to an hour to do the upgrade. And then you're left with Windows 10.
Yeah.
The upgrade itself was completely uneventful. If you go here, you can see that after updates, this still has almost 2.5 gig free.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, there's nothing else installed on it.
Yeah.
But this is, you know, the full Win 10 OS.
Yeah.
And you're not dealing with WinBoots or anything like that anymore. And over time, the system drive will actually compress itself.
Yeah.
So you'll actually get a little bit more free space later on. But you can tell that I actually had zero issues with the upgrade. There was no banged out devices at all.
I gotta say, I've updated every machine in my house to Windows 10, and I've had absolutely no issues whatsoever. I did have to get a new video driver for my yoga, but other than that, I mean, it was just the best experience so far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of our questions are about upgrading Windows 10,
of course.
There's a lot of people doing it right now, so that makes sense. We get a lot of questions on that.
Yeah,
awesome.
So I've actually found this device to be pretty powerful, and you gotta treat it for what it is, right? It's not a powerhouse, it's not a gaming machine, it's an Atom processor, but it's perfectly fine for streaming. If you use something like Plex or XBMC or Kodi or MB or any of the other things that end in an E for streaming, it works perfectly fine over wireless.
Might be a gaming PC for MAME.
Yeah. I mean, if you had, actually, this is pretty cool. As you know, I like most things Bluetooth, but with this device, you can stick on any of the emulators, and if you properly get the ROMs for the games that you own, you can play.
You have the boards in your garage.
Of course. You can play, you know, games on this with a USB controller, or Bluetooth Nintendo controller, or if you really wanted to, the Xbox controller could plug right into it. As well, you can play it directly like that.
Very nice. Awesome. Cool. So first question this week, it was an As Seen on Reddit question. And I saw this while we were off, while I was on vacation. And I thought about it for a second because it kind of stood out to me as, yeah, why is that? And it says, Windows 10 says pins are safer than passwords. How can this be when passwords have more combinations? I had to think about it for a second, but there's a very simple answer to that.
So pins are, well, actually, let's go backwards a little bit. You have an account on your PC.
Yeah.
Now with Windows 8, 8.1, and 10, you have your MSA, your Microsoft account. Mm-hmm. That's your identity that we use to represent you on your machine and give access to the online services.
Yeah.
That's your whole identity. The password to that account is extremely important.
Yes.
Now, there is always risk when entering that password, mm-hmm. that, you know, in places that you don't need to. That's why we have the PIN. The PIN is so that you can go onto your machine, and that is a thing that actually allows you to log in. It's not that you're having to type in the password anymore.
Yeah.
And that's the risk of exposure.
Yeah.
If something gets compromised, it's only your PIN.
Yeah.
Your PIN means nothing in the real world, like on the internet.
It's specific to that one device.
Exactly. It's specific to that one device. So so a screen scraper or, you know, a bad website, it makes no difference, you know, for a PIN. That's why PINs, when you're logging into your machine, are inherently safer. And it's also easier for you to remember.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. All right, next question from Andre. He says, the update KB3072318 causes graphical glitches when viewing the jump list.
Yeah, we don't have a picture of it, but when you right-clicked jump lists, there was a corruption here where a pin would show up in this bottom right-hand or bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah.
And yes, we actually knew about that, and there is an update for that coming extremely quickly, if not already out there by the time the show airs.
Awesome. From James. My name is James, and I'm a friend of Darcy.
Hello, James. Hello,
Darcy. Hi, Darcy. She gave me this email address, get some help with my upgrade to Windows 10. I've been getting the error 0x-C1900101-0x-200017 repeatedly. I've tried installing the updater from a USB, from a DVD. Each time the update installs 100%, the computer restarts and pops me back to Windows 8 logon screen with the same error. The installation failed in the safe OS phase with the error during boot operation. I'm using a laptop with an SSD. It was not the original hard drive. I had issues when I first installed the SSD, getting the computer to boot from it. When I tried to install from the DVD, the computer didn't boot from it and on the restart. I got the same error as before. The next time I held down Escape to bring up a boot menu and choose the DVD drive, that got me further than I've ever gotten, but when I chose the upgrade button, it asked for a Windows key, and when I didn't have one, it gave me a compatibility error.
So there's a lot going on in that particular question,
yeah.
So let's break it up a little bit. So the root of this problem that I can tell, at least mm-hmm. from this question, is at some point in time, he switched out the hard drive.
Yeah.
Now, it either had a platter drive before, I don't know what kind of drive it had before.
He puts in an SSD.
I mean, it could be an SSD replacement.
Could be a bigger SSD.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But the fact that he had problems means that that is likely the actual root cause to this entire snafu.
Yeah.
The code that got brought up is the real interesting part of that code is the second portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it started with a 2 means that it's during the second phase of the setup when it's booting into WinPE, the offline phase. What happens in the offline phase is that in order to ensure that we have the best possible experience for the user, we will take certain boot critical storage drivers from the old system and inject them into WinPE so that we can guarantee a boot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm guessing is happening here is perhaps an unsigned driver or some other incompatibility in the driver, how he upgraded this hard drive in order to get it working in the previous OS.
Yeah.
It's incompatible with the, something is incompatible by taking those drivers and injecting into WinPE.
Yeah.
Now, I can't tell for certain. We likely did not get a bug check, a memory dump because of storage.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically the type of error this is. What we would want to see is, I'll write it out here. we want this entire folder zipped up. Basically, whenever there is any kind of upgrade failure, what I want is this window. I will say it out after I. Okay, so I need the $\backslash windows dot tilde bt. Normally this is a hidden directory. If you want to go see it, and you're doing this from Explorer, go to View, go to here, uncheck hidden items. I don't know if it'll still show it here, no. But if you deselect hidden items, it should show up as the $\windows.tildebt right at the root. And the source is Panther directory. So I need this entire folder zipped up and emailed to defrag whenever there's any type of upgrade failure.
Okay.
And be able to figure out something from that. Now, since that is actually the root cause, let me talk about the other places where James had errors here. So he tried to reboot and boot from the DVD, mm-hmm. or you know, in this case, the USB. That won't ever work to upgrade the system. In order to upgrade the system, you have to be within the running OS because we have to do certain operations in the running OS.
Yeah.
In order to properly update it. So even if you had got the DVD or the USB to boot, even if you had put in the key, you still wouldn't be able to upgrade.
Yeah.
So we'll get the logs. I'll be able to do some more diagnosis. But the SSD right now, then how you got the SSD in that system is going to be the root cause of why you can't upgrade. We'll probably have to go through, figure out what your drivers are that are installed, start removing them, start updating them, mm-hmm. In order to get to a cleaner-ish state.
Yeah. Okay. All right, next question. I purchased an HP Stream 7 a few months back. I've been trying to upgrade it to Windows 10, but it looks like it doesn't have enough disk space. It only has 7 gig free, and if I remove the few apps I've installed, it's not the 16 gig required. Have you been able to upgrade the HP Stream 7?
I have. In fact, I have an HP Stream 7 that I upgraded to 10, and using the identical steps that I talked about early in the show about putting in the hub, putting in the two USB sticks. If you do that, even with your 7 gig free, that's more than enough to get to Windows 10. You just need those two USB sticks.
Okay, so rewind. There you go. From Philip, is there a FTPS or an SFTP command line in Windows 10? If so, what is it and how do I access it?
Not yet, much to my chagrin. I would love to have this as well. Unfortunately, you're still having to deal with third parties.
Okay. From Robbie, a family member passed away and he had some Outlook PST files she wanted to open on a older PC, but she doesn't have the email password. She can open Outlook, but the email account asks for a password. She can't reset the email accounts because she doesn't have the reset info and doesn't know the website to go to. She wants to get some important email with pictures and other things. Does Microsoft provide a tool to retrieve the Outlook password or data? I looked at some utilities, but they say antivirus may alert to the tool or may be loaded with spyware. Do you have any suggestions like a VBA, C# script, PowerShell script, or safe tool to recover the data? So first of all, Robbie, very sorry to hear about your family's loss. It's one of our favorite viewers. He writes us all the time.
Yeah,
feel bad.
Echo Larry's sentiment. Unfortunately, we don't have any scripts or any tools that we can give you. However, if you call support, they can help you. There's a very particular process that's involved getting a death certificate in order to prove that you have access or you should have access to the email account and that everything's kosher. And I hope that you can understand that we have to play it by the book that way.
Yeah.
Because there's all sorts of implications involved with gaining access to other people's email accounts. So if you call support, the actual support line, they will be able to go through all of the correct channels in order to help you out.
Okay. From Grant, I use Outlook 2010 as my email client. I routinely back up my PST file to an external drive, simply copying it using Explorer. Today, Explorer returned a message that it cannot read from the file. Outlook can see the file and it runs fine. Explorer did, however, delete the backup copy of the PST file from my external drive. Now I have no backup at all. I tried to backup the PST using my backup application, NovaStore. It failed. So I tried using ScanPST. It returned an error message saying to use a disfix application. I used the error checker from Computer Management. It found and fixed two errors on the drive. I store the PST file on D, not C. Then I tried to copy the PST using Explorer again, same error. I tried ScanPST again, same error. I went back and checked the disk again. This time there are no disk errors. I'm a bit panicky since I have no backup and I cannot make a new one. I've searched net resources for help, but so far all I've read is it says ado, I've already done.
Basically, your backup drive is failing. Don't even try to save it. Replace the drive and then back up your PST onto a USB stick until you can replace the drive physically. But either way, you should always have a secondary backup regardless. This sounds, your PST sounds extremely important to you. So I would always have a secondary backup of that anyways. But yeah, you're gonna need a new drive.
Okay. From another Grant, I will be building a new PC shortly. I know that I can't simply install 10 on it, so I'll install 7 from a valid retail installation disk. Here's my question. I'm assuming that my best route to the 10 update would be to install 7, then before installing any updates or any applications, update to 10, then install my applications. Is that the best approach?
Yeah, actually that approach or installing some of your key apps should also work. I mean, we've never had a more compatible upgrade. To give you an idea, in terms of most compatible upgrade experience to least compatible upgrade experience, the upgrade from 8.1 to 10 is by far the best experience you could get. Then the experience of 8 to 10, then the experience of 7 to 10, mm-hmm. and then the experience of 8 to 1, and then the experience of 7 to 8.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've done a ton of work trying to make sure that apps are the most compatible as possible. But in terms of time savings, you're probably better off just installing 7, no updates, go straight to 10, and then install your applications. That'll probably be the fastest, because then we don't have to worry about the migrating of your apps and settings. It's just a straight OS install.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, and one other thing is that once you've completed the 7 to, so if you, once you install 7, you activate and then get to 10, afterwards, as long as you're activated in 10, you don't have to ever go back and install 7. You can do a straight install of 10 using, and you don't have to put in any keys either. It will simply activate, because the thing that you have to realize is that you go from 7 to 10, or you go from install 7, activate, go to 10, and use your MSA, mm-hmm. it will transfer all of that activation information to the cloud. And then on that machine, pretty much forever, as far as I know, you can just clean install Win10 as often as you like, and it'll simply be activated.
That's awesome. Okay. All right, next question. I'm using Windows 10 build 10.240. There's two deleted libraries that keep reappearing after a reboot, Camera Roll and Saved Pictures. Is there a way of having them stay deleted?
Are you synced to OneDrive? My guess is that this is actually being pulled from your OneDrive account from another synced machine. So you'd have to go through and make sure that you're either not syncing to OneDrive or make sure that it's deleted on all of your machines.
Cool. Okay. All right. And then I got a pick of the week this week. Get the Channel 9 apps. So you can go to aka.ms/ch9apps. And you can get all the apps here, and you can see we've got Windows 8, Windows Phone, Xbox 360, Xbox One, iOS, Roku, and Android. So, yeah, get them all, try them out, let us know what you like, let us know if you have any problems with any of them. Watch all your favorite shows on whatever device makes you happy. And you can see, look at that, no Android, totally sucks. We got Android now.
We do, right
here. It was just taking a little bit longer. Come on.
Right here.
Yeah, but there you have it. So try it out. The only caveat with this is we don't have yet where you can watch some of our live events that we do on the front page of Channel 9 on these apps. But we'll be working on that, so lots more to come in the future. So there you have it. Try it out. Let us know what you think. And if you have questions, write us at defragshow@microsoft.com, and we'll see you next week.
Take care.